Hey everyone, this is your host Jim again of the Bible Study Podcast. This is episode 50, The True Meaning of Christmas. So forgive me if this comes off a little bit disorganized, whatnot. I'm kind of doing this off the top of my head based on some light thought preparation I had done. My pastor asked me to share a quick note on the meaning of Christmas to my campus this past Sunday, but unfortunately I wasn't able to go. Me and my entire family, immediate family, wife, two kids, and I, we all caught COVID, and so we weren't able to go out. We've had to self-isolate for the last week and a half. Today I'm actually able now to get out without needing to isolate, and my wife's a few days behind me and our son another day behind her, so we're well. We went through it pretty rough for about a week or so, but between me and then my wife and then my kid, one of my kids at least, but we're fine. We're doing well. We're on the mend and almost completely recovered. So because I wasn't able to get out to our campus service on this past Sunday, I was kind of feeling disappointed. One, because I couldn't see the people that I normally do church life with, right? But on top of that, you know, I was being offered the opportunity to share a thought, and I was really kind of excited to do it. And since I can't do it there, I'm going to do it here and just share with you guys what I felt like the Lord was putting on my heart to share with our campus. And again, we're talking about what is the true meaning of Christmas. And there's a lot of people who can have like a whole bunch of different, takes and spins on it. And you know, obviously, you know, when you boil it down, the true meaning of Christmas is, you know, what? The birth, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? And so it's important that we keep that in mind as we celebrate the holidays. It's not just about gift giving. It's about Jesus, right? But I think more significantly than just remembering the life and story of Jesus, I think that the true meaning of Christmas is that of direct access to the Lord. And just kind of track with me here. Remember that prior to Jesus's birth, life and death and his ministry and fulfilling prophecies, whatnot, and paying for our sins, the only way that people had to be able to have a relationship with the Lord was essentially through obedience, through just going to church, essentially, or, you know, temple, and to understand and be, submissive to the teachings of man. And which obviously, you know, if you've done much reading of the Old Testament, you know, progressively after the Lord reveals himself to his people, progressively after that, it's essentially just a story of their disobedience and their drifting away from Yahweh. And so there was this disconnect, and people had to minister to the Lord through proxies and hear from him through prophets and through old, you know, and scriptural readings and whatnot. And it was this very kind of disconnected type of relationship where the presence of the Lord literally was in a location, you know, in that of the Ark of the Covenant and the temple of God. And you could be near or far physically from God in that sense. And that what was changed here with the life of Jesus was that Jesus came to have a relationship with us directly. He came so that way all of us, no matter where we are on earth, no matter who we're around or what nation we're in, what time even that we exist, after he came, you know, we could all have the exact same type of deep, meaningful relationship with the Lord. And the way I would kind of liken this to is, you know, maybe some of the relationships that we have in our own life. You know, for example, the church that I go to is a I guess I would define it as a decent sized church. It's definitely not a mega church, but there's I think a little over 1,000 people that'll attend our church on a given Sunday. At least there pre-COVID there was. So obviously church attendances across the world have been kind of hit by COVID for various reasons. But we were, in my, like I said, in by my definition, a decent sized church. And and my pastor, our lead pastor, I should say, he is actually holds a pretty high role within our wider church connection. It's a non-denominational group of churches that spans throughout the country and even into Canada. And, you know, we have different arms in different parts of the world. But he is the regional director for this area of the country, which essentially is most of the Midwest and East Coast churches, and as well as parts of Canada. And so my pastor has a large amount of responsibilities, our lead pastor. My campus pastor is also one of my best friends. And he and I have enjoyed a very, you know, strong relationship for a long time. And there's a lot of things that have connected us. You know, I was his children's youth pastor. He was a good friend of mine right after I got saved and helped to, you know, encourage me and to disciple me and build me up. And we've just had a camaraderie, you know, ever since. You know, he had an illness, he had a stroke, you know, a few years back. And I was the first person there on the scene helping him and making sure he was okay. And so there's been a lot of other, you know, cases where he's been there for me, I've been there for him. But we just really enjoy each other's company, and there is a deep, personal relationship between me and him. And there's also a good relationship between me and my, our church's, lead pastor. But the relationships aren't necessarily the same. You know, I enjoy meeting with my lead pastor from time to time. You know, but he's very busy. Like I said, he has a prominent role in our church connection. And so, you know, understandably, his time is can be very constrained at some points, and so he's got to choose the people that he's going to minister to and be close to, and likewise I do as well, and so does my other friend my campus pastor. But there is, you know, some differences between us, you know, and I don't know if my campus pastor still shares this practice. I imagine he does. Because again, it's a big church and there's a lot of needs that people pull on. But if I were to attempt to meet up with my campus pastor versus meeting up with our lead pastor of our entire church, that is, I'm talking about two different sets of actions. There's two different sets of or courses of actions that I would need to take to be able to do that. You know, my campus pastor, like I said, is one of my best friends. We have a very close relationship. I can text him, say, "Hey, bro. You know, you got some time this week or next week that we can meet up," and we would figure it out and we'd make it happen. I wouldn't be able to do that necessarily with our lead pastor. Again, there's a whole lot of other people pulling at his attention. I'm not quite as close to him as I am to my campus pastor. So I wouldn't just text him and say, "Hey, when can you meet up? You got time this week?" I would call the church office and I would speak to the secretary and say, "You know, hey, I've talked to our lead pastor and we've both expressed interest in wanting to meet up soon. When does he have availability?" And I would have to work through somebody in order to get on his schedule. Which again, I'm not trying to illustrate some type of problem with our relationship by that nature. There is none. You know, like I said, there's a lot of people he's got to minister to. I understand. And I have no issue with that. I get it. And if I were in his position, there would probably be a long list of people that I would have to need to direct through that way, so that way I can keep my life organized. But if I wanted to meet up with him, I'd have to call an office to be put on his schedule and find out when his next opening is. Because he's got a lot of people he's got to minister to, right? Not only people at our church, but at other churches. You know, the leadership role that he has within our organization, there's a lot of significant pulls on his time. And I understand that. And so that's how that would have to work. But like I said, I have much more direct access to my campus pastor, who, like I said, I would consider to be a close friend. And so for him, you know, he's somebody I would make sure is, you know, involved in my wedding. You know, I invited him to come out to Cambodia with me when me and my wife got married, and, you know, he obviously wasn't able to make that kind of a trip. Very few people were, you know, but he did do the actual ceremony here, the legal ceremony here in the U.S., marrying my wife and I. And so when we do hopefully a recommitment service, which is what my wife and I are definitely looking forward to doing at some point in the future. You know, he'll be involved in that because he's a good friend of mine. I have direct access to my campus pastor because that relationship goes deeper than just him being my campus pastor. And I've known him for a very long time at this point, almost the entire time that I've been, actually the entire time I've been saved, which has been close to 10 years now. And that directness comes with closeness, that directness comes with relationship, that direct access comes with intimacy between me and him. We know things about each other that most people might not necessarily know about him or know about me, right? So there's a difference there. And, you know, it'd be similar too if I wanted to try to meet up with maybe the mayor of my city or a senator or a congressman. I would have to, you know, call an office and try to get put on their books, so to speak, and go from there. But if I want to spend time with my wife or my kids or a close friend or a family member, there's less barriers to that. There is direct access. I have direct access to some people in my life and more indirect access to others. And that doesn't mean that that person doesn't care about me or whatnot, but there's that difference. And when I was thinking through this, what stood out to me is that the Christmas story really is a story about God saying, I want to have direct access with you. And that's everybody. He wants direct access with everyone on earth. And he offers that. You know, he came and he lived according to the prophecies and the ways the scripture described that he would live. He gave his life up for us, you know, both in living and in death, right? He gave his life to ministering to us, to helping us, to teaching us, to healing people, to loving on people. He gave his life to us, and he also gave his death, right? His death, the payment for our sins, the payment for what we have done wrong and faulted on and made mistakes over and how we have fallen short of the perfect standard that God sets. He did that. He didn't have to do that, but he chose to because he wants that relationship with us. He wants us to have that direct access, that direct relationship with us. And if there's one thought that I can leave you with this Christmas, as we're just a few days away, is that if you do not have direct access to Jesus, he wants that for you. He wants you to have direct access. If you know somebody who does not have direct access to Jesus, share them this thought. If you have been hesitating to reach out to somebody and tell them, hey, Jesus wants to have a relationship with you, a direct access kind of relationship with you. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just being able to call up the president or your senator or a congressman and just say, hey, how are you? I'm in need of something. Or I appreciate our relationship. Doesn't matter how high up in the chain that they were, right? How important they are, what they're in charge of, you know, a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company, you know, pick the highest, you know, ranking, most powerful person you could possibly imagine that you'd want to reach out to. And you have their direct, you have direct access to that person. Okay, great. That's cute. How about the God of the universe? Who wouldn't want direct access to the God of the universe, the Lord Jesus? And that is possible. Far more impressive than having the president's phone number or the CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company's phone number or your senator's phone number. Far more impressive than a celebrity's phone number. You have the phone number, essentially, of the Lord Almighty, the God who created heaven and earth and stands outside of time. It's just amazing that you can take your cares, your little, you know, seemingly insignificant cares to that same being, that same God and Lord of the universe. And the truth is that your insignificant trivialities are not insignificant at all. They're not trivial at all. He wants to be involved in that. He wants to be able to engage with you and deal with you with whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're happy with. He wants to hear from you. He wants to be engaged with you. And that is just such an amazing, mind-blowing thought that the God of the universe wants that with all of us. I encourage you this Christmas, make sure that you're taking time to realize that this time of year is not about gifts or parties or people that you're going to get to see this time of year. It's great that we get to do those things as well. Who doesn't like gifts? Who doesn't like parties? Who doesn't like seeing loved ones? We all do. But that's not what this season is about. The season is about God, the God of the universe, coming in human form to meet you and I, to establish direct relationship with us. And so I encourage you to be a good shepherd of that direct relationship, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. Do it. And if you know people this Christmas, like we all probably do, and if you don't know somebody who doesn't know Jesus, then you're living, you got a problem with your life, because you need to get around some people who don't know Jesus. But as we get around people this year, this Christmas season, who don't know Jesus, think of ways that you can bring him up, that you can talk to people about him, because that is the best gift that you could possibly get them this year. God bless everyone.